got your Bible, then please turn to Luke chapter 17. We're going to be looking at Luke 17 verses 11 through 19, the story of the 10 lepers who were healed and the one who turned to give thanks. And if you don't have a Bible, then let me see. Mike, are there Bibles around? Where is Mike? Where are the Bibles? I don't know. But I really hope that you will all be looking in your Bible as we go, because I really love the words that God gave us here. And there's some very specific things that I think are going to make your heart rejoice and be thankful as we look at those words and think through what God has told us here. So Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Much of the cultural decay that we have in our culture around us right now, and there is cultural decay, is directly related to a failure to give thanks to God. Now, why do I know this? I know this because it says so in Romans 1. It is not a new thing. As we look around and as we see the world running away from God and running after sin, perhaps some of you grew up in a cultural setting in this nation where it was sort of assumed that people knew about God and claimed to be Christians, whether they were or not. That's sort of departed now, and many of us now have grown up with more of a reality of, hey, that's just that we Christians are weird. We stand out. But that's not a new thing for the world to be the world, and for the world to embrace worldly things and to go after worldly things. But what it says in Romans 1:21 is, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. It's saying right there that a primary symptom of the lostness of man and the rejection of God who created us has always been a failure to give thanks to God. The way that that plays out is typically three ways in the world, in the unbelieving world. When receiving God's blessings and God's mercies, which God gives, Jesus says that we're to love our enemies out of imitation of God, who sends the rain on both the just and the unjust. And when the unjust receive the rain, when those who don't believe receive what we call temporal blessings, blessings of good things in this life, there's three possible responses to that. One is the thought, "I deserve this, and the result, I'm going to boast about this. This is something that I had coming to me. This is awesome. I'm in an awesome position. I will boast." It's foolish. It's foolish not to recognize that everything that we have is a gift that we don't deserve. It's from the God who is the creator of all things. But that's a worldly response, is to say, "Yes, I deserve this." By the way, that's a very, very popular sales tactic right now. "You deserve this," right? So many things get sold that way, and you should boast about it. Second way that the world can respond is by recognizing that they don't deserve what they've received and saying, because of that, not "I am thankful," but rather "I am guilty." You see this in the world around us all the time too. It's another part of our cultural decay right now. If I have something and another person doesn't have something, then my proper response should be, guilt. Now, of course, that's what the world would say. That's not what I'm telling you, okay? Now, of course, we want to give. We want to recognize when we have more than others and we have an opportunity to give and bless others, that that's part of what God would like us to do. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We want to do that. But sometimes that's just, it's not even really possible. I'll give you an example from a few months ago when we had the tropical storm that blew through here, which there's been so much that's happened through then. It's like, wait, when did that happen? Remember that? And in our house, we had our power out for 4 days, and a lot of people went through some difficulties from that, trees falling and all kinds of stuff going on. And one of the very first responses that I saw on Facebook was from someone, and I don't know this person, but she had said, "Our power didn't go out and our house is fine. I feel so guilty." Right? Now, why would she say that? Well, there's nothing necessarily that she can do to like make other people's houses, you know, powerful, right? But her thought process was, I have received something good that others have not received. I don't deserve it. I'm guilty. What would the believing response be? Gratitude. And not just gratitude, not just a feeling of gratitude, but giving of thanks. Telling God, thank you. So there's you could say, I don't deserve it, so I'm going, or I do deserve it, so I'm going to boast about it. I don't deserve it, so I will be guilty. Or I don't want it, which leads to the response of rebellion. Rather than boasting or guilt, rebellion. Let me give you an example. God made me a girl, but I want to be a boy. I feel in my heart that that's who I really am. This is not how I should have been made. Rebellion rather than thanksgiving. We look at those strange anomalies of casting off the roles of male and female, one of the most blatant decays in our culture right now. What's the root of that? It's a failure to give thanks to God for his good creation design. It's a rebellion against that. All of these things, all of this failure to give thanks to God, as it says in Romans 1:21, is a mark of a foolish, darkened heart. But what I want to submit to you and show to you today and talk through in Luke with this leper who came back and gave thanks to Jesus is that on the other hand, giving thanks to God is a mark of saving faith. Giving thanks to God is a mark of saving faith. That doesn't mean that everybody who ever says thank you to God in a prayer is a saved person, but it does mean that every saved person is going to be a person who gives thanks to God. And I want to clarify also, when I say giving thanks, when I say thanksgiving, when the Bible says thanksgiving, it's not only talking about the feeling in your heart of gratitude. The feeling in your heart of gratitude is a good thing. But it's not thanksgiving. It's not actually telling God thank you and praising God for his good gifts. Actually, went home for dinner between being in the office today and coming back tonight. And on the way home, I heard a little pitch on the radio for a show hosted by Susan Sarandon, in which she said, "We are going to look together at the science of gratitude." And that gratitude is an emotionally complex, scientifically complex emotion that we can pinpoint to a specific part of the brain. Well, maybe, but that's not thanksgiving. Okay? Feeling a feeling is not the same thing as praising God, as giving God thanks. So that giving of thanks is a mark of saving faith. Now, let's look together at the story we just read about these 10 lepers. And I want to think first of all about what all 10 of those lepers had in common together. What was true for all 10 of them? It says in verse 11, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. This is Jesus on his final trip to Jerusalem before he's about to be crucified. And on the way, there's Galilee up in the northern part of the territory of Israel. And then down south of that is Jerusalem, and in between there is Samaria. And Samaria was where the Samaritans lived, right? And the Samaritans had a twisted view of God. They were kind of sort of almost Jewish, but they had a perversion of that religion, and they were widely despised by the Jews. And he was passing along the border, and as he came along that area, it says he entered a village. It doesn't tell us which village. You know why? Because the place where these things happened does not matter. That they happened matters. Remember that when somebody tells you that you're supposed to get rebaptized because you're at the Jordan River. Don't do it, all right? It's not the place that makes the difference. As he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. This was sort of a respectful thing. These lepers, they had leprosy, which was a horrible skin disease that is not common in the world today, except in very poverty-stricken areas. Now, I remember when I was with a group in Uganda that they pointed out to us in this giant lake. They said there's an island out there, and there's a leper colony on that island. So it does still exist in some places in the world today, but it's pretty rare. But this was a terrible skin disease. It was deadly. It resulted in body parts falling off. It was just gruesome. And those who had it had to be quarantined. And I'm not talking about the kind of quarantine where you stay home as much as you can, but you go to the grocery store when you can too. No, this is like you're out there. Now, Jesus, at some times in his ministry, would actually walk up and touch a leper, which was crazy to everyone around, because you're giving yourself a death sentence to walk up and touch a leper. But you know what happened when Jesus did it? Is rather than the leprosy getting on him, the healing and the cleansing got on to the leper. He healed them, he cleansed them. But in this case, they stood far off, something of an act of being polite to Jesus. And as they stood at a distance, Jesus did it a different way this time. And he just spoke to them and told them what to do. But let's think about this. All 10 of them came to Jesus, and all 10 of them said this in verse 13. They lifted up their voices and they called Jesus Master. They said, Jesus Master. Now, usually in the book of Luke, when people who are not Jesus' disciples want to address Jesus respectfully, they'll call him teacher. And usually in the book of Luke, the only people who call Jesus Master are Jesus' own disciples. And this group of 10 lepers from out of nowhere is coming and calling Jesus Master, a very similar term to Lord, saying, you, Jesus, you are the one that we ought to serve. You are the Master. All 10 of them said that. They said, have mercy on us. So all 10 of them were asking for healing. You could say all 10 of them were praying men. They were all talking to Jesus. They were all asking him for help. And I will say that it is good to talk to Jesus and to call him Master and to ask him for help. And Jesus actually said that this is an essential thing that all of us ought to pray. The way Jesus put it is, give us this day our daily bread. Jesus was saying it is good to ask for God's help in temporal things, in things of this world, to take care of our needs. And that's what they were doing. They were saying, have mercy on us, heal us. And yet, that's really the only kind of prayer that lost people know how to pray, isn't it? God, please help me with the things of this world. But they were all praying that. And all of them, amazingly, received Jesus' healing. All 10 of them. It says in verse 14, when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourselves to the priest, which is would have been the process for this skin disease that, according to Leviticus has large sections on skin diseases. You know that if you've ever gotten to February in your Bible reading plan, right? And what they are to do to demonstrate that they've been healed of the skin disease is to go to a priest, and this was part of the duties of a priest, was something of being a skin doctor in a way. So they had a dermatological role of the priesthood, and they were to certify that certain people were clean in terms of examining their skin. And so Jesus says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, this is an unusual way of healing. And Jesus heals in a number of different ways throughout his ministry. Sometimes just touching someone, sometimes speaking to someone, sometimes speaking even from a distance about someone and that they're healed in another location. In this case, he has this group that's far away from him and he says, go show yourself to the priest. They're still leprous at this point, but they start walking. And it says, as they went, they were cleansed. That's amazing. Now, you know what they're doing? They were all following Jesus' instructions. This is something that wasn't even on your outline. They all follow Jesus' instructions. And they all were healed. They all received that healing. And yet, Jesus is going to show us that out of the 10, 9 were still lost people. Only one of them had faith that was saving faith. And the others had sort of a form of faith, right? They had the kind of faith where they recognized, I'm in trouble. That Jesus guy can help me. He seems to be master. I will call him master. They even had the kind of faith where they thought, I should follow his instructions if I want this healing. All of them experienced that mercy in a very amazing, literally miraculous way. And yet it's just like in Hebrews 6:4, where Hebrews talks about those who have been enlightened and who have tasted the heavenly gift and yet are not on their way to heaven. There was something that they understood. There was a gift, a miraculous gift that they had received, and yet 9 out of the 10 were headed to hell still at the end of the day. What set that Samaritan leper apart? Let's look at verse 15 and let's see. It says, then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. One of them. Matthew 7, Jesus says, enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. You might say 9 out of 10 lepers. But the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Like the single leper who was a Samaritan. Matthew 11:20 says that Jesus denounced the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. They assumed we have received miraculous healing from Jesus. God's gracious favor must be upon us. We're good to go. When in fact, the reality is that they were presuming on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance. That's Romans 2:4. As all of these lepers, all 10 of them, they experienced the riches of his kindness and his forbearance and his patience. But only one of them saw God's kindness is meant to lead me to repentance. We could say that only one of them received from Jesus not just the gift of healing, but the gift of repentance, the gift of faith in Jesus. Look what sets him apart. One is that he turns back to give thanks. That's in verse 15. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He didn't just go straight to the priest. He didn't just say, okay, Jesus said, walk this way. Now I'm cleansed. I bet, it doesn't say in the text, but I'm just going to guess that probably all 10 were really happy. I would guess that if you asked all 10 of the lepers, are you grateful? They would have all said yes. But only one of them gave thanks. Only one of them turned back and said, I will stop what I am doing because it is more important to go and to praise my Savior right now than to take care of this business that's in front of me of presenting myself to the priest. My plans in this world, they don't matter as much as giving praise to my Savior who's from another world. He turned back. He turned back to give praise, to worship. He prioritized the worship of praise and thanksgiving of this God. The second thing he did is he with a loud voice, he praised God. It says, praising God with a loud voice. Guys, this is what it looks like to be a believer in Jesus. We love to praise God. Luke loves to talk about the loudness of the voices, the praise of God too. If you're not a good singer, God doesn't care. You may have heard the best singer who's ever walked into this church building. You know, God's got legions of literal angels singing around him. He's heard better singers. He just longs for your praise, and he can create it in your heart, and praise God if he's done that. So this leper, he turns back to give thanks. He gives loud, thankful praise. He gives humble, thankful worship. Verse 16, he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Guys, this is part of what Thanksgiving is. And I'm not talking about the holiday. I'm talking about what the holiday is named after, the giving of thanks to God. There's a humble recognition. I don't deserve what I have. That's why he fell on his face. The leper didn't come up and say, Jesus, I'm so glad that somebody finally recognized that I didn't deserve to have this terrible disease. I'm glad somebody recognized what kind of a guy I really am. Amazing that you finally get it, Jesus. No, he comes face on the floor. I don't deserve this. He is in his posture, recognizing that what he has received is a gracious gift, not a wage that he earned. He is humbly giving thanks in worship. Now, it says he was a Samaritan at the end of verse 16. That points out to us that he was a foreigner. We don't know about the other 9 out of the 10 lepers. Maybe some of them were Samaritans and others weren't. We just don't know. But it's pointed out here that he's a Samaritan because there is a big point in what Jesus is going to say. Did no one return except this foreigner? This is part of what God used as the means of bringing this man to faith, is that part of his recognition that he didn't deserve it is that he was an outsider. He was a foreigner. There were those who were the insiders who so often just said, of course, this is how things ought to go. Of course, I ought to receive God's blessing. I'm part of God's people. Of course, God ought to show these things toward me. The Samaritan man, part of what was built in was he knew he was on the outside and that Jesus had brought him in. He knew it. He was an outsider with no presumption of mercy. What did that Samaritan leper's thanksgiving demonstrate? Well, look at verse 19. What Jesus says, well, the first 18, I don't want to skip that, was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner. Guys, don't think to yourself that because you grew up in church that you're on God's side. Don't think to yourself because you are, I'm talking to my kids at home, because you're a pastor's kid that you're on God's side. Guys, it was the foreigner who returned. It's those who recognize we have no right to be on the inside that God would show mercy to. But the Samaritan leper's thanksgiving showed two things in particular. One was faith and the other was salvation. Look at verse 19. Jesus said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Okay, now there's a footnote. You've got to read the footnotes when they come up in your Bible. Okay? The footnote on verse 19 in the English Standard Version that I'm reading from says, or has saved you. Your faith has made you well, or your faith has saved you. Now that is one of those puzzling little things, and it's just all over the place. Every time you see Jesus say to somebody, your faith has made you well, he's using the same word that the Bible uses of salvation. It could be translated, your faith has made you well, or your faith has saved you. And it's kind of a judgment call with the translators every time it comes up. But I want to submit to you that the only way that this makes sense out of Jesus' mouth in these verses is for him to be saying, your faith has saved you. Why is that? Well, it's because all 10 of them were healed, right? But Jesus is saying specifically, there is something different about this one who came back to give thanks and praise to God. And what is different is that his faith has made him well. His faith has saved him. He has faith. This faith in Jesus Christ is a saving grace whereby we receive and rest upon him alone for salvation as he is offered to us in the gospel. I love that definition out of the Baptist Catechism. That's what he was showing, that he depended only on Jesus. And he had that salvation. Now, if Jesus had just been saying, your faith is what healed you, then when he said, rise and go your way, all he would mean is, why did you come back to give thanks? Your faith healed you. Their faith healed them. Why did you come here? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, you have been saved by faith, and it's been demonstrated. The fruit of it has played out right here in that you gave thanks and praise. Thankful praise, you might say. It was not his thanksgiving that made him well. It was his faith that made him well. It's not by giving thanks that we are justified before God. It is by faith alone. And yet thanksgiving is a mark of saving faith. The giving of thanks. Whereas when our foolish hearts were darkened, we did not give thanks to God. The world, the unbelieving world with its darkened, foolish hearts, has some sense that they ought to be grateful about something, to something, but don't know what, and refuse to open their mouths in thanksgiving to God. But those of us who know Christ, that's all we want to do all day. We just want to give thanks to God for what he has done for us and given to us. So what should we do? Well, we should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. You should have faith. And by that faith, you have salvation. I do want to emphasize here that the faith that he has is something that God has given him graciously. It's a gift from God. Even the faith itself is something to thank God for. And as a consequence of what God has done to change our hearts, we believe, and that believing is the way by which God justifies us. So believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, as Paul put it very simply to the Philippian jailer. And as a believer, give thanks. If you are a believer, you will give thanks. And so believers give thanks. And what can you give thanks for? You can give thanks for the temporal mercies that he's given you. The things in this life, the things that we see in this world that he has given to us. The blessing of existence. We don't deserve to exist. Did you know that? And he's given us that. The blessing of our health. The blessing of our family, the blessing of God's provision for us in all of these worldly things, the blessing of all that is in the world that he lets us experience that is good and that is true and that is beautiful, we can give thanks to God for those things. And I hope also, believer, that you will know that you have received every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, that it's ours in Christ Jesus. We can thank God for God himself, for the Father's electing love and predestination of us. We can thank God for Christ's work of redemption, for the Holy Spirit's work of calling us and regenerating us, for justifying us, adopting us, sanctifying us now. We can thank him for the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, our victory over Satan and over all of our spiritual enemies and all of the demons. We can thank him for the certainty of Christ's return. We can thank him for the coming resurrection of the dead. We can thank him for eternal life.